Well, we'll try and have a picturesque beginning. Imagine, if you will, a big, almost endless landscape. And in that landscape, it's multicoloured, and there's millions and millions of different colours and tiny little fragments of things. And on the horizon, we can see all of these things like a giant junkyard. And as you step closer to it, you start to realise that what this big junkyard is just piles and piles and piles of empty little plastic shells. And this is a place that I imagined making a radio play a couple of years ago called Boojum, which was kind of about how the internet affects artists' practice and how the internet affects us as human beings and how the internet will affect posterity and how the things that we're doing now are going to carry over into 100 years' time. I've started collecting 78 RPM records in the last few years, a little obsessively, because what fascinates me about them is two things. One is that the original object from 100 years ago is still there and still playable with a pin and a piece of string and a tin can, and we can, you know, with very simple technology, we can listen to this. But the our iPods and our mobile phones and pretty much everything that we're not giving a final physical form to, ultimately, I think, is as technology becomes obsolete, a lot of the stuff that's being generated now by people is going to start to disappear. So when I pictured this graveyard of empty shells, as it became known in my head, I pictured the idea of music. The music that was inside these boxes kind of is now disembodied and floating or nowhere. But surely all this stuff can't be nowhere, because something, if it's been in a place, has to exist in some way, or that seems to be one of the givens of the universe, that it's impossible to destroy anything entirely. And what I was thinking about that is that the things, because I've put a lot of music on the internet. I was kind of, when the internet first came about, it was obviously very, very exciting. This is kind of about 2001 or something like that, when I first started to really look at the internet and to use it. And back in the days of uploading an MP3 would take an hour to upload a 3 megabyte MP3. You would sit there watching it, and it would be very exciting as the little line would go, like, yes, our one MP3 is online. And since then, I kind of fell into the habit of making music and giving it away for free on the internet, because for a long time, and to an extent still now, it's one of the main ways that I've been able to reach an audience. But the problem with it is, and at the moment I'm in a very questionable relationship with the internet, because the problem seems to be that, well, let's say, put it in the context of writing something on Twitter or something like that. If you write something on Twitter, then, and you have, say you have 1,000 followers or something like that, you write something, and the chances are that maybe one out of those 1,000 people are going to see it, because all those 1,000 people each follow 1,000 people, and it disappears as quickly as it's arrived. So I think that the place where all the music that's theoretically floating about above this graveyard of empty boxes is I think of it as like a big abyss where everything goes. So all the tweets and all the MP3s and all of this stuff just disappears almost immediately. Almost, the internet was supposed to kind of give almost immortality to art, and also kind of to give this democratic opportunity to everybody to be able to make art and be an artist and reach an audience. But in reality, the system doesn't really seem to work because of this thing of the abyss.